Thank you again. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, choir. Thank you. Before we light our candles for the city, let me share a few thoughts with you. As I was musing over what I would say tonight, I decided to go back to the first Christmas meditation or homily I delivered in my first year of ministry with you, with those of you who were here at that time. Somehow it feels appropriate to do that on this night. I used a story then, a very real story, which had been much in the news during the prior year, 87-88. It was about a little girl, 2 or 3 years old at the time, who toddled off into a corner of an aunt's backyard in Midland, Texas, and fell down a narrow well shaft, which had long been out of use but was not securely covered enough to keep a baby from falling in. Little Jessica McClure got stuck quite a few feet down in that shaft. She was not seriously hurt, she just couldn't get out. As the story of the trapped child in the well got out and spread around, and this was back in those Neanderthal days, also known as the pre-internet era, if you can believe there ever was such a time, as the word of that story got out of that little child down on the ground there, Midland, Texas became the virtual center of the universe. I happen to have a sister and brother-in-law and their family who've lived in Midland longer than my family and I have lived here in Nashua, and they said the incident was nothing like their town had ever known before or has known since. Structural engineers flew in from various parts of the country on their own time and at their own expense to offer their expertise in a rescue operation, which involved constructing a parallel rescue shaft a little ways away from the main one that would not cause the other one to fall in, and so the little girl could be safely reached. Evacuation companies donated their equipment, rescue operators came in from all over, and even without the internet, television networks gave continual updates on the progress of the effort, and after 2.5 days, as much of the world watched, little Jessica was pulled out of the well, went on to live a normal life. The last time she was in the news was about 7 or 8 years ago when she graduated from high school. She said she remembered nothing of the ordeal. Probably just as well. She's now approximately the same age as my son and daughter-in-law, apparently content to live her life well out of public view. Although I note the 25th anniversary of this event isn't too far off, so we may hear from her then. Like I said, I used this story to offer my first Christmas Eve message here to what was then my new congregation. What I said then was that in addition to being captivated by the story, as much of the rest of the world seemed to be, I was also struck by how, in a matter of days, this little Texas toddler became a mythic figure. By mythic, I don't mean false, because the toddler and the story were very real. I mean mythic in the sense of all this one child came to represent and embody nearly a quarter century ago. There are so many of the world's children, most of them nameless to us, who daily lose their lives to accident, disease, want, human neglect, or human folly like war, and we don't even know who they are. But here was a child we could save, and we knew her name, and we knew where she lived. Little Jessica McClure, for a few days, came to represent or embody or incarnate all that people of hope and goodwill want to be able to do for the world's children. She allowed us for a time to be the kind of people we most yearn to be. She provided an opportunity for some of redemption from the more mundane selves and a chance to find the more heroic selves. Yeah, she was just a little kid who had the misfortune of getting stuck in an abandoned well shaft. But in so doing, she also for a time became the universal child who calls us to our better selves. Well, even though I was new to this pulpit when I first recounted that story, pretty much the same way I've done it here to this point, I figured most folks there were able to see where I was going with it, just as you probably do now. This incident from quite a few years back now is one of those occurrences that helps me to understand, once again, the continuing power of the story and imagery of the birth of Jesus, which was just told to us. It's an ongoing powerful image both within and beyond the Christian communion. At the center of this story is yet another mythic figure. Except in this case, we don't actually know who he was or how he actually came to be born. And even though his name was a fairly common, if not generic one for the time, Jesus or Joshua. But the legend or myth is about a baby born under the most precarious of circumstances and who ends up calling us to our better selves. This mythic child is the bearer of hope, love, peace, redemption, all those things, in other words, that humanity most yearns to have. The historical setting for this legend is at least close to the mark. The Roman occupation of Palestine, the census decree, the reign of Herod, and whether they ever made it to Bethlehem or not, there were Persian astrologers who did look to the stars for signs of a new age. And out of this setting came the legend of a child, born to peasant parents in trying circumstances, and whose birth was heralded by celestial beings called angels and tracked by Eastern magi. This was no ordinary child, as the legend came to be told. He was an endangered peasant child who would also call humanity to its better self, thereby offering humanity a chance to redeem itself once again from all its human folly. When a story like this endures for 2,000 years and continues to be told and celebrated, that tells me that such a legend is striking human chords in a way that transcends the dictates and doctrines of any one religious faith. Just as the image of a helpless child trapped in the earth strikes universal chords and remains in our memory. The late Reverend Sophia Foss, the mother of today's Unitarian Universalist religious education, reminds us in words that have become part of the scripture of our liberal religious tradition that each night a child is born is a holy night. A newborn child is a bearer of hope and a reminder that we're still called to be bearers of hope and love and peace and justice for those in our human family. Each night a child is born is a holy night. But it seems perhaps we need a particular holy night, a particular story, and a particular image of a particular child just to remind us of that. This child came to be called the Christ. And that term, too, is a universal one. It does not apply to just one human being. A Christ person, as I've come to understand it, is someone who brings transformation and increased wholeness into our lives. Someone who gives us an enhanced sense of who we are and what our lives can yet be. And sometimes it's someone who's made sacrifices for the sake of our own empowerment or for the good of humanity itself. And so that babe in the manger is really the paradigm, the symbol for all these kinds of Christs. We might do well on this evening to recall those who have played such a role in our lives at various times. Well, I'll close these thoughts with some words by a friend and colleague of mine, UU Ministry, Reverend Morris Hudkins. He probably wrote these words for a Christmas Eve service he was leading. We're joined this evening by the light of candles. From light we have the symbol of warmth, of sharing, of newness of life, of enlightenment and hope in a world of tragedy. For Christians, the light in the sky represents the birth of a new world religion by Jesus of Nazareth. He moved people's hearts in ages past, and he moves people today. For others, it can symbolize a new life ahead, a new relationship, the birth of a child. It can also be a significant reminder of persons whom we've lost in this and other years. For all of us, it can be a symbol of hope in a struggling world, for health and healing where there is sickness. It can mean and bring new insight, fresh beginnings, a new commitment to peace. For all these reasons, we have come here this evening to share in the joy of light.